Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Roll call for Tuesday, March 6th. Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Hines? Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Nutting?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Flatern?
Here.
President Anderson?
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Reverend Vice.
I'd like to offer a prayer for service today. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, send down upon those who hold office in this state, especially this Senate, send them the spirit of wisdom, charity, and justice, that with steadfast purpose they may faithfully serve in their offices to promote the well-being of all people. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the
pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March the 5th, 2012, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor for the day is Dr. Doug Parks, and Dr. Parks is from Cheyenne. Maybe many of you know him. Our nurses of the day are Kim and Rhiannon, and they were with us yesterday, and they come from Castle Rock Hospital District. So thank you again, nurses. On this day in history, back in 1888, Sheridan, Wyoming was incorporated by an act of the legislature. The thought for the day, this is by a person by the name of Bill Vaughn, says if nobody dropped out at eighth grade, who would hire all the college graduates? Senator Martin, I understand you have some very, very important introductions.
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor? Mr. President, it's not often that we have a fine group of folks traveling all the way across southern Wyoming to come visit the legislature. But today, we have students from the Desert Middle School in Wamsutter here to visit with us and with their instructor, Aaron Edwards. And would the Senate please welcome them? They're sitting in the gallery behind us here.
Welcome, students, and we do hope that you enjoy your day. Do we have any messages from the House?
March the 5th, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 229, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 85, General Permits. Having passed reconsideration, the Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 41, no 17, excuse 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. March the 5th, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 230. Conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 25. The House conferees are Representative Brown, Chairman, Representatives Reeder and Stewart, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. You need these back.
Bill's on second reading. Or do we have some more reports? One more report.
I have another report.
You do.
March the 5th, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 231, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to Senate File 40. The House conferees are Representative Nicholas, Chairman, Representative Teeters and Throne, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Now I think we're ready for bills on second reading.
You got some.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege?
You may.
Today I'm pinch hitting for Senator Johnson on an introduction from the Noah Webster Christian School. I don't know if they're here, so thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, certainly welcome them when they get here.
We'll find them.
Sure.
They've got no hope. Got no hope.
House Bill 31, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 31, obsolete laws.
There are no amendments. House Bill 31. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 46, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 46, handicap parking, space, size, and marking.
There are no amendments. House Bill 46, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 51, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 51, industrial siting impact payments.
There are some amendments, the first of which I think is the Schiffer Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
House Bill 51, second reading amendment number 1, to engross copy, page 5, line 9.
Go ahead, Senator Schiffer. What's your pleasure?
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 51. Mr. President, what this does is it goes in on page 5 where we talk about the cap on industrial siting compensation, and it lowers that cap from 2.76% to 1.38%. What that does, it takes what the state would draw in terms of sales tax, and it also does it over on the use tax side, where it was capped at the state's share of the sales and use tax, and cuts that in half. And that puts the maximum draw down from 100% down to 50%. It's a very, very close haircut, but it does provide that cap that seems necessary for fiscal responsibility, which I favor. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Questions of the sponsor? Seeing none, second reading amendment number 1, House Bill 51. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We are now on the second amendment, and that is the Meyer Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
House Bill 51, second reading amendment number 2, to engross copy, Page 5, line 5.
Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 51 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is a long amendment because it has to deal with both sales and use tax. There are three issues involved. The first issue has to do whether or not there should be a distribution at all. And, and rather than leaving that up to the industrial siting folks, we ask them to share all the information that they receive with the State Loan and Investment Board, the top five elected officials. So you actually have elected officials making this decision rather than appointed folks. And excuse me, Mr. President. And what it says is that they determine if any impact of the assistance payment distribution is required or if there is existing funds with counties, cities, towns to address the impacts. So the SLID board gets the information that there is an impact. They take a look at the current revenues and those things that exist within that city, town, or community, make a determination of whether or not there's a need to expand those impact funds or whether or not that city, town, or county has existing revenues to take care of the problems themselves. So it just isn't a gift out there to these people that have more money than they know what to do with. Then if you look on page 5, line 12, that's 18, 19, and 20, we limit the total assistance that can be paid in any one year to $1 million in any one calendar year. that's in addition to the limit that the good senator from Johnson County just brought forth, that this is a limit indeed. So we know that our impacts to our general fund is going to be limited in yet another way. Then we also say, Mr. Chairman, in page 6, line 22, and those are 24 through 28, that no funds to be distributed if they supplant existing funds at this county, city, or town, which are available to address the impacts of the industrial facility. This is simply saying that if these political subdivisions were planning on building a road and it was in their budget, and it just happened to be that a plant was going to be out at the end of that road in a subsequent year, that you can't have these impact funds because you're planning on rebuilding the road anyway. So if it was in your plans to make these improvements in that area, it just happened to be the same area where the impacts were going to exist, that indeed if you asked for impact funds, that would be supplanting funds that were already existed. So, Mr. President, that explained the sales part. The other part of the amendment is the use part. They are divisible, but I'd say vote them up, vote them down. I'd hope that we'd support all of these so we can kind of get a handle on these funds and these impacts. And I'd draw your attention to a handout that the good senator from Albany County has put forth, and it should be on top of your desk here. And from 97 to 2011, there's been $65,863,000 distributed out of here. And folks, you know, we don't even get a chance to look at this, profile it, vote on it for appropriations. You just have some bureaucrats that write the check. So this kind of tightens it up.
Senator Hicks, first time.
Mr. President, I'd like to divide this amendment. First division would be 1 through 16. Also included in division 1 is line 24 through 43. And line on page 2, 5 through 10 would be the first division.
Give me just a minute to look at that. Senator Hicks.
Yeah, just separating those out.
I believe that that can be done. Division 1 being lines 1 through 16, lines 24 through 43, lines 5 through 10 on the second page.
Okay.
Go ahead, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, on and against the first division on this, is I think this adds a tremendous level of additional bureaucracy onto this process. The current distributions would follow what we're currently doing with these impact assistance funds already. They're allocated by DEQ. By adding this First Amendment on, now you have to go through an additional protracted process to put a lot more bureaucratic slowdown on the time that those monies are allocated to the times they get to the counties and towns where those funds are needed. So I would ask the body's favorable consideration for a no vote on Division 1.
Senator Schiffer, first time, go ahead.
Mr. President, I too rise and ask you to vote no on Division 1. And the reason being, when these funds are established, it's done through a formal hearing process. There's a decision document that's made. And then if you send that, which is really what this asks for, that decision document, which, by the way, is appealable, it's appealable to the State Land and Investment Board. All they can look at is that decision document. They can't reach out to, for example, small towns such as Wamsutter that gets impacted or any other small town and say, decision document, vote it up or vote it down. I think that puts, I think it does add a level of review, but it's of no consequence. They can't do anything with that review other than say the whole thing is wiped out. Think a minute. It may be that one community has the wherewithal to handle impacts, but the next community might not. Again, I mentioned the town of Wamsutter. It comes to mind because these fine people are here visiting, but also because that was a very, very small community, isolated, that did not have the resources to handle the impacts, whereas some other town in that county might have done okay. But that's not what the SLIP board can do. It's all or nothing. I urge you to defeat this amendment.
Senator Scott, go ahead. First time.
Mr. President, I too rise against this amendment, but on a different tack. Looking in the portion that's included in this division, you have a statement, no funds distributed under the subsection shall be used to supplant existing funds in the county, city, or town which are available to address the impact. Mr. President, I have a couple problems with that. One is I think it's probably an administrative nightmare to figure out whether you're supplanting existing funds or not. And second, where a community knows it's got something coming at it, what this is an incentive not to prepare for what's coming at them. And I think that's unwise, Mr. President. So I think we'd be better off without that paragraph as well.
Any other comments in regard to Division 1 of the amendment? Go ahead, Senator Myers.
any type of impact that might exist out there and leave it the way it is, then you're facing this 60-some million dollar impact to the general fund. Now, what this says is that if there's is an impact and you can't afford it, the state's going to pay for it. Now, that's reasonable. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Hicks, be your time.
Mr. President, for my second time, I would join my colleague from Natrona County in this clause in the section on page 6, line 22, that says no funds distributed under this section shall be used to supplement. You know, where do we get off in this legislature as being benevolent benefactors dictating to counties and cities and towns what their most dire need are? You know, if they're going to have the funds and they need to supplant these because there's another opportunity to treat something with these, government to the closest to the people is the best government. So I don't see why we should be putting criteria on here dictating to these local governments how you're going to spend these funds. You either believe in their ability to address the needs of their community or you don't. So we can either be benevolent benefactors and dictate, or we can leave some of that discretion up to those local counties, towns, and cities. So I would urge defeat of this portion of the amendment.
I'll give you the final time, Senator Meyer. Go ahead.
It's the general fund state money. That's why.
I think it's... Question being called, this portion of the amendment does deal with distribution and money's in the other part of the amendment. So I think, unless there's an objection, I'm going to just have a voice vote on this Division 1. Is there any objection to a voice vote on Division 1? Seeing none, the vote will be on Division 1, page 1 of the amendment, lines 1 through 16, lines 24 through 43, page 1 of the amendment. And finally, lines 5 through 10, page 2 of the amendment. That's Division 1. All those in favor of this division, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That Division 1 has failed. We are now on Division 2 of the amendment. Division 2 is the remainder of the amendment, line 17 through 23, page 1. In addition, lines 44, 45, page 1, along with lines 1, 2, 3, 4 on page 2. Would anyone like to speak to the second division? Senator Scott, please go ahead.
Mr. President, speaking against the second division, Mr. President, this is the issue of the $1 million cap on payments to any county, city, et cetera. And, Mr. President, just thinking of my district, frankly, I think the cap would probably work perfectly adequately for the small towns. If we had an impact that was going to hit Midwest or Edgerton or Barnon or someplace like that, that's probably going to work for them. But, Mr. President, if we have a major facility come in that's going to impact the major city in Natrona County, I think a $1 million cap does not work there. And so I would be opposed to this portion of the amendment as well.
Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm in favor of the amendment. You know, folks, take a look at the impact assistance payments and take a look with the forecast. When we began this program for the industrial siding payments years ago, things were different. And I can tell you one of the biggest things, and I remember the 1980s participating in a Synfuels plant that was going to be located up in Gillette, and the hearings, and the principal hearings, the principal expense at that time that the community was worried about was the K-12 and having to build another school because the anticipated employment for that Synfuels plant, which never took place, but what's happened since then, we're now building schools for everybody. Those are the largest impacts that communities saw are now gone. We have water development funds that are greater than we had in the past. We have business-ready community grant funds greater than the past. We have the industrial road program that's greater in the past. We have county road funding. We have local government fundings. We have the mineral grant royalty program. We've got the YDOT funds themselves. And Then the other factor is when you look at the forecast and you look at where $43 million is going to get tagged to the cost of your anticipated budget, and you look at the primary almost more than, you know, you got Sweetwater and Campbell County, some of the has the largest resources in the state. It's time, folks, to take a look at what was happening. You know, when that program started, it was had a different purpose, and there was less state aid for those counties. Counties were building schools out of their own funds. That's no longer the place. And that's $23 million that could be put through the local government funding program. Next year or 2 years from now, I don't know that we're going to have any resources for local governments under our present formula. But under this, at least these communities that really enjoy some of the greatest benefits that are coming down because of their unique situations, they have the highest mineral valuations. They have some of the greatest community centers. They have some of the greatest opportunities, and yet they're also tagging your sales tax before anything else.
Any other discussion in regard to Division 2 of the amendment? I'm going to ask for a roll call vote on this because it does have a impact on those funds by local communities. The vote would be on Division 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 2, House Bill 51, Division being lines 17 through 23, page 1, including lines 44, 45 of also of page 1, also then including lines 1 through 4, page 2 of the amendment. I'd ask the Chief Clerk call roll on that portion of the amendment, being Division 2.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case? Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Yes.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Excused.
Johnson's excused.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
No.
Meyer? Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Slatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 14 ayes, 15 noes, 1 excused.
Division 2, the amendment has failed. Second reading amendment number 3, that being the Meyer Amendment also, and I'd ask that be read in at this time.
House Bill number 51, second reading amendment number 3, to engrossed copy, page 1, line 6.
Senator Meyer, would you like to speak to this amendment?
Pardon? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 51. Mr. President, all this does is make sure that JAC gets a report of this every year, so at least the money's already spent, but at least we can bring it to you guys and tell you how much you spent. We don't have a thing to do about it, but it's always nice to know.
Further discussion in regard to the second reading amendment number 3. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 3, House Bill 51 has passed. We are now back on the bill. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Scott, go ahead, please.
Mr. President, before we get to third reading, I'd like to express a certain degree of discomfort with both this bill and the underlying program. Mr. President, my understanding is that the difficulty with the program as it now exists is it doesn't get impact aid to the cities and counties that need it in a timely fashion, that it comes in after the fact when maybe the tax revenues that the project has generated have set in and helped solve the problem already. So it's kind of an after-the-fact distribution and tends to go to the wealthiest of our counties, and we do have a problem with the maldistribution there. So I hear that problem. I also hear the problem in that this can hit our general fund without coming through an appropriations process. But if we were to do it in the normal way, again, it would be too slow. And, Mr. President, I'm uncomfortable at this point. Does this bill really do anything to solve those problems? And in solving the one problem, do we create worse problems in the other fashion? Is this bill the right vehicle? Do we need to have a hard look at this program in the interim and see if it's working the way it's intended? You know, when we first passed industrial siting, we didn't have in some of the counties the extent of the revenues that we've now got. And we had just impossible problems in some of the counties that are now amongst our wealthiest, but just couldn't keep up with what was happening to them when this bill was passed way back when, and we got started on this. Mr. President, I'm just not sure the extent to which this bill, after we've amended it up and down, really solves the problems we've got. And I have a suspicion that it makes one problem less important and the other worse. I'm having difficulty striking a balance. So I'm hoping, Mr. President, we'll hear some more from the proponents of the bill as to what this really does to solve our problems now that we've changed it around so much.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Further discussion, Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Mr. President, I share those same concerns, and I guess upon the request, if we're looking at, it would be helpful if the Department of Revenue could be asked to provide us a, just for example, on the projects that are there, or maybe it's DEQ, but the on the projects that are existed that are profiled on the sheet that that was provided to you, the handout that that we talked about today. This is a DEQ-generated document. But saying, okay, if you change the rules to this new formula, what would be the exposure to the general fund compared to what has been there in the past, and get a feel for what are the caps, what are the caps, the drivers. And I think I share the concern that this program began at a time where needs are different, and it really is time, Mr. President, to take a look at this program long term and see whether this is appropriate distribution. In almost all these instances, what's happening is the premise is that the local government funding, your local resources, are inadequate to take care of your impacts. But having said that, if that's the case, then you have to take a step back and say, what makes you different, in a sense, than all the other communities and the impacts that they experience naturally? And in the end of the day, we're not creating a new source of funds, because no longer do we tax industry for these impacts. We are essentially taking it out of our general revenues, and it's time to take a look at this whole issue.
Thank you. Further discussion? Go ahead, Senator Hicks. We're on the bill, of course.
Yeah, Mr. President, and I guess I would follow up, and I would like to give the body some concrete examples, if you'll go to the handout. And I share my concerns with both these senators. And the real issue that we're trying to deal with here is the impact up front. But pick up your first sheet. I'll explain to you what this really happens in the real world. If you'll go to Carbon County, I want you to go to 2007 and see the distributions in 2007. Is absolutely zero. But in 2007, we experienced, between Crescent Junction on I-80 and the city of Bags, we had three-man camp with over 400 men come in there within a year's period of time. Substantial increase of traffic, police, emergency services associated with that. And then you'll see in 2008, there was a distribution of $13,000. By 2009, the dollar started to come in, but by then we only had one man camp left because we'd had the downturn in the economic turn, and it was gone. But at the meantime, by the time the money came in, we were behind on sheriff, police services in the town of Bags, a town of 300 and some people at that point in time. So you see the lag. Now, what I'd like you to do is turn the page. And just because it's an area that I'm most familiar with, I want to talk about, go to Carbon County again, and you look down there on the two projects that are projected. Now, this is projected as a 2012 startup construction date. What this means to Carbon County is, with the one project, we're looking at over 3,000 temporary workers coming in, and for another, over 1,000 temporary workers. If this started construction today, in 2012, we'd have 4,000 temporary workers. We don't have enough motel space in the whole darn county to house those people. So now we're looking at man camps scattered around the county and all these other things. And I just bring this to illustrate the point that I think my good senator from Natrona County was talking about, the real problem we're trying to deal with here. And this, whether this is the vehicle or not, I have my own skepticism. But the issue is real. How do you deal with 4,000 workers, temporary workers, that descend upon your county and your communities and have no ability to even house them, let alone deal with all the other emergency services that you have to provide? So think about this, whether this is the vehicle or not, I don't know, but I wanted to bring a real concrete example to you and what that means. So, and I think this does a very good job of that.
I'm going to go to Senator Bebout, and we'll go back to Senator Nicholas for a second time. Go ahead, Senator Bebout, first time.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Just another point of view for the senator to consider, and if you look at this list, you don't see Fremont County on there. And the reason you don't see Fremont County on there is because we've never passed the fifth penny. We never, we're in a position to be able to apply for these impact grants. But I will just share with this body that we've had some huge construction projects in our county, and it being the Lyseide area where we had, I think, three trains put in for a natural gas processing plant, and we were able to deal with it. Now, did it impact us? Sure. And were there problems? Sure. And we had a man camp. In fact, it was set up in Shoshone. But the county was able to deal with it. And so there is another side to this equation where, you know, the good news about Fremont County, when we put this plan in, look what it did to our assessed valuation. It increased by 50%, which was huge. So has it been positive for the county? Absolutely. Did we deal with the impact? We did.
Senator Perkins, first time. Go ahead.
Thank you.
On the bill.
On the bill. The just by way of information, a couple things. First of all, one of the things that probably the problem that you have that the counties deal with is the lag time. It's not necessarily the amount, although there has been some instances where there's an amount, but generally it's the lag time. And so there are some issues. How do you deal with that? Well, the one thing that's not on this sheet that was handed out, the one thing that's not on this sheet, there's a couple things. One is, we have done and provided consensus money to counties every year, so there is some relief that's there. The other thing that's not on the sheet is, if you have a 4 cent local sales tax, if you have the 5 cent local sales tax, if you have a $200 million project, that's another $2 million that comes in tax revenues. That's not on the sheet. That's just the normal taxes that are collected. So there's those things as well. If you go back specifically on the examples, when you go back and look at Carbon County in 2007 through 2009, there's a couple reasons why that turned out the way that it did. One was this body had exempted wind facilities from sales tax. That sales tax has now expired. They are subject to sales tax. So that, in some degree, that's self-correcting. And the other thing that happened then, too, also, is the way that the works now is it's on, based on a baseline. So if you have an economic downturn, your overall taxes are falling, your baseline is going to fall, and that's going to impact the amount of money that's there, too. But as was pointed out by the other good senator from Fremont County, that's one of the consequences we have when we exempt things. And actually, that's one reason we have to take a look at exemptions very, very carefully, and local governments should, too, whenever we start to look at and provide exemptions, because it has a direct effect on that. But as you look at that, also in discussions with the staff member today, talking about some of my concerns about constitutionality, and we look at that, the way that this bill does that is by simply divorcing this in large part from the taxes. Before, in the existing program, which is reflected in the sheet you got, that's if we don't change anything, those projections are under the sheet that we've got. But when you divorce from that, it's really in the nature of a continuing appropriation. And where before it was just an earmarking of tax bills, the way the bill is now, it is, even with the amendment we've made today, it's really no longer an earmarking. It's simply a continuing, in the nature of a continuing appropriation. And this won't be the first time the legislature's done that type of thing. But it's, I think it's really important, Mr. President, that we understand exactly the function of the bill and what it does. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Other, go ahead, Senator Nicholas. I believe this is your second time on the bill here.
Mr. President, part of the problem with the discussion in this framework is, for example, the Carbon County discussion. My recollection of the events is that during that time, there were about six or seven counties that we delivered mineral impact dollars, and I think the Carbon County received $10 million. It's not on the ledger. When you drive through Rollins, you'll see they got a brand new school right on the in Rollins. Not on the ledger. It came out of our pocket. There are industrial road programs. We gave money to help the Wamsutter facilities. Not on the ledger. So what's happening here is that I would give you this. We know that there are impacts. And oftentimes we get frustrated that there's no global entity to say, look, what do you have? What resources were made available? And where are we going? And by the way, let's take a look at your assessed valuation. Take Carbon County. They were one of the lowest going back 8 or 9 years ago. Now they enjoy high assessed valuations. So it's time, folks, to take a look at are the appropriate resources directed to these impacts? Do they belong there? And how do we go about doing it? And the industrial siting process was premised under a notion that doesn't exist, and that is the industry would pay for it. No longer is the industry paying for it. The state's paying for it, but we're paying for these impacts in a variety of different places in our budgets. And ultimately, what we do is allocate resources. And when we're allocating resources, you should look at the entire package of things that we do for communities before you just start doling out money. And what these programs do is says there's a group of people who get to feed at the feed trough first, and you don't even get to see that before you begin to allocate your resources.
Further discussion on the bill. Seeing none, House Bill 51 having been read two separate times. Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, with as much discussion as we've had on this, could we have the yeas and nays, please?
Point of order.
Go ahead, Senator Case.
Well, we're in second reading. Usually there's just an objection, but we can, you can kill it now if you want to. You can request it.
Senate File 51, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered.
I object.
I've already ruled on the bill. Senator Scott.
There was a request for the ayes and nays on that, and I think under our rules that request has to be honored.
I'm going to give me the script. Under objection, there is a process by which you can get to a vote on second reading, and there was no objection prior to my ruling on the bill. We had this situation once before. The chief clerk will give me the script on that. We can, yeas and nays being asked, we can vote on that. Yeah. What's that script? I will find that, share it with you, but in the absence of that script, I would call for the yeas and nays in regard to House Bill 51, yeas and nays being called for. Senator Schiffer, go ahead.
Mr. President, could we have a ruling of the Rules Committee, whether whether we can call for the yeas and nays after you've read the statement. Can we come in that late and call for it and then take it to a vote? As I understood the procedure, once you said, having been through second reading and hearing no objections, so ordered, if I missed something that was said on the floor, I apologize. But that's unusual when we get that far down the road to step back, and I'm a little uncomfortable with it.
I agree. There'll be a meeting of the Rules Committee in my office. We're at ease until the Rules Committee can come back.
Hey, came the right guy.
Thank you.
Rules Committee has ruled unanimously to uphold the decision of the chair to bring closure to the House Bill 51 on second reading. However, having said that, let me read this statement again. This is the statement that finalizes the bill on second reading. Now, I will say that when you're in this chair, your eyes are on the script and not always on the floor, so you're listening. Senate file whatever, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be heard read a third time? There was a pause. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered, and that was what I did. That's what makes the bill go on then to third reading. Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
And what I'd add to that is that to make a motion, you need to have the privilege of the floor. You need to have recognition. And, you know, I would say that our tall senator from Casper does it correctly. He stands up, he gets recognition, he says, having for whatever I call for the yeas and nays. And the practice that we often fall to is you hear people sort of bantering around yeas and nays without getting recognition. It's not sufficient just to sit in your chair and yell yeas and nays. You've got to get up, get the attention, and then ask for the motion.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader Ross, go ahead.
Mr. President, to dovetail on Mason's Section 91, Paragraph 1, says a member is not entitled to address a body, nor to offer a motion or present a question or other business without first obtaining recognition. Okay? So in this situation, you got the proper way is as Senator from Natrona County does, gets recognition, then asks for A's and A's. This doesn't blurt it out or anything like that. So it's always a proper protocol to stand up and if you need to, you can say objection and then get the chair's recognition and then you can move forward.
Okay. Moving on. Senator Emmerich, go ahead, sir.
Privilege of the floor.
You may. Go ahead.
And for my second time, I would like to introduce in the balcony up here, I'm pitch hitting for the good senator from Laramie County, Noah Webster Christian School. Please welcome them to the Senate.
House Bill 77, and welcome, students. House Bill 77, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 77, Charter Schools Average Daily Membership.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 89, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 89, Workplace Safety Employer Assistance.
There is an amendment. It is the Scott Amendment, and I'd ask that be read in at this time.
House Bill 89, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 1.
Good, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, recalling the discussion in Committee of the Whole, The question was, does this bill on its face violate Article 16, Section 6 of the Wyoming Constitution, which would forbid grants to private organizations, private individuals, private corporations. What this amendment does is seeks to cure that problem, which I am convinced is present in the bill as it stands before us, by changing the language so that they're not grants, they're not gifts, they're contracts. And, Mr. Chairman, you have to do more than just a cosmetic change of the name to cure the constitutional problem. The contracts have to be for specific services that the state needs. And if you look at page line 12 of the amendment, the page 2, line 3 reference, we're contracting with the employer to take specific actions to increase and improve effective participation in workplace safety programs. So it does make it incumbent on the department to put out a request, say, these are the kinds of actions we want to see. Tell us what kinds of actions you're going to take, and are there some other specific things you're going to do? So there's a contract to provide a specific service. And I think once you've done that, then you're in the position, Mr. President, of not just giving money away to businesses, but of saying, we want you to do certain things that will be helpful to the state in terms of workplace safety and the interest that the state legitimately has in workplace safety. And that changes it from a grant to a purchase of services. And I think then it would meet the Article 16, Section 6 provision. And that's not limited to general funds. That's a general provision, and I think it applies to all state funds, including this one. And I think that there, otherwise, your state's entitled to work on workplace safety by the language in Article 10, Section 4. This just closes the loop and makes sure that we're doing it in a proper fashion. I'd urge adoption of the amendment.
Senator Bebout, go ahead. Thank you, Mr. President. I think this amendment does help this bill, and I said yesterday when we were talking about the constitutionality, but I want to once again read to the members of the Senate under Article 10, Section 4, damages for personal injuries or death, workers' compensation. And in that it says, monies in the fund shall be expended only for compensation authorized by this section for administration and management of the Workers' Compensation Act, debt service related to the fund, and for workplace safety programs conducted by the state as authorized by law. So I think that clearly does it. And also, Mr. President, there's a 1943 Supreme Court decision that further solidifies this, and it says that it's not a violation if we do this, in fact, to encounter and carry forward the administration of the act. So I think clearly this is within constitutional limits. I don't think it creates any problems, and I would ask that you support this amendment.
Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Mr. President, all in favor of the amendment and concurring with the remarks, what I want to do is clarify a statement I made yesterday and where I said that questioned whether or not the word appropriations in the various constitutional clauses only refers to appropriations made for general fund and budget reserve, and in conferring with our constitutional counsel and going back and looking at the history, we have taken the position and uniformly, while there may not be a lot of case law on there, that applies to all appropriations, regardless of source, even for federal appropriations. And that is the better practice, and that is that we, no matter what the funds are, the constitutional restrictions apply.
Senator Jennings, go ahead, sir.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President. On for the amendment, but with a question. Before I got to come down here and play with all you guys, I got a grant from the state, and there was things you were supposed to do, but there was never a follow-up on whether we did them. And I was very tickled that I got it, and I wrote this great big report on it, kept waiting for them to ask, and they never asked. I finally brought it down here and handed it to the guy, the state energy official, and he goes, oh, thank you, and never even read it. But if we change the word from grant,
because of the Constitution, and we go to contract, will that give us the ability to, in the contract, require that the services actually do take place? And then that way, as our courtesy inspectors go out, and you have somebody that has a contract for their safety program and they're not doing it, then can you go back on the contract and say, these are the provisions in the contract and you need to uphold them?
Glad second time, Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman,
for my second time trying to answer that, if you have a contract, you have an obligation to fulfill it. The extent to which the state goes to make sure that you fulfill it is then a matter of administration, and sometimes it's cheaper, better administration, to check up on a random basis or not a regular basis. Sometimes better to have a report. There's a number of ways to do that, and I think that's a matter best left in this case to the judgment of the state agency. But the state clearly, with a contract, has a right to follow up and see that you did it.
Question being called in regard to the Scott Amendment, second reading amendment number 1, House Bill 89. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We are now back on the bill. Senator Hines, would you like to speak to the bill?
President, I have a question just for my own understanding of the 8 new employees that we're addressing here. Are they paid for from the workers' comp fund, or do they part of that come from the general fund?
Mr. Bebout, would you like to answer that, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. There are not 8 new ones. There are 5. There's 2 that are already in place, and they will be transferred from where they are to do the consultation. All of them are paid from the unemployment or the workers' comp fund. None of it comes from general fund money.
Any other questions before we move on? House Bill 89. Having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 108, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 108, Professional Teaching Standards Board Teacher Certification.
There is an amendment. I believe it is the Dockstetter Amendment. I'd ask the reading clerk to read that in at this time.
House Bill 108, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 4, line 12.
Go ahead, Senator Dockstetter. Move the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment to House Bill 108. Members of the Senate, the original sponsor, I visited with him on this. For the original sponsor of the bill and also with the sponsor of the amendment we're addressing here, both feel favorable that perhaps the addition of or charge would be more inclusive when addressing the effort to have a complete report on the teacher's history. Ask for your favorable approval.
Go ahead, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I question whether or not you want a charge in here. I mean, what if the person isn't convicted or simply a... I guess I think that that's too broad and patently potentially unfair to the applicant who was exonerated.
I think Senator Jennings is up first, and we'll go to you, Senator Roth. Let's go ahead, Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. In testimony from the executive director of the board, one of the things that she brought out was that she was seeing things that came in that may have a string of charges or things that should have been a conviction that because of an error of the court or whatever was dismissed. Now, they're not asking that it would be, and if there was a string of these, that would be passed on to the board for review. And as it went up, and I know what all the lawyers are going to say, that they got exonerated and whatever the reason was, but these are people that are applying in our state to be in the classroom alone with our children, and all they want to do is have an ability to put it out in front of somebody other than just the executive director to look at it. and move it on to make a decision. And that was the request by the executive director, and we kind of saw felt her pain because she was seeing things go forward that she couldn't relate because of these words being gone.
Senator Rossless, and then we'll go on. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just wanted to clarify what this amendment is changing or what action is going to be taken. This is not part of the review process itself. This is part of a decision-making process for the PTSB of whose information they forward on to a school district. So the Professional Teacher Certification Board, or Standard Board, excuse me, already has made a decision whether to license or not license this individual. The way the bill was originally drafted, every single criminal record that they called for, which basically was for every applicant, would get forwarded on. So they all went into an envelope, these reports, regardless of whether they had anything in them that was of interest, and would be sent to the school board. We tried to scale that back just for the sake of decreasing the administrative overhead costs, the amount of time it would take to do that. So that was the purpose of the original amendment. Now, the concern here is, well, limiting it just to people who were convicted of a felony or convicted of misdemeanors within the two specific chapters of the amendment might not be enough, because you might want, as a school board, to know whether someone has been charged with a felony or charged with a misdemeanor that is specific to these two chapters. So, again, it's just forwarding on information. It doesn't necessarily affect a decision. It's trying to be a little bit more inclusive of whose information gets forwarded on. There's no judgment associated with it. It's strictly trying to be inclusive of what information can be reviewed by the school board, and I think it's a friendly amendment. Ask for favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Christensen, go ahead.
Mr. President, rising on and with concern for the amendment, it's my experience that there are, much as we want to assume that there's no assumptions that come with this kind of language, it's my experience there are people who actually look at this and view it as a conviction was wrong and it didn't mean anything. And on the other hand, there are people who look at charges and believe that not guilty verdicts are quite often don't mean anything, and it just means that they had a great lawyer. And so I'm concerned with putting that language in there and respecting our system, with the final step being convictions or not guilties. And this, I think, clouds that and does raise some questions that don't necessarily respect folks who may have been found not guilty for appropriate reasons.
Other discussion in regard to this Dockstader amendment? Final time. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate the discussion and the concerns there. What we're trying to attempt to, when we're dealing with our children and in the classroom and when we can't always be with them, is to make sure that those who are in the classroom teaching and instructing are the best qualified and have gone through the complete process of being approved for that position. I ask for your approval.
Senator Escobel, that was Senator Dockstader's final time. With regard to the Dockstader amendment, second reading amendment number 1, House Bill 108, all those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. Back on the bill. House Bill 108. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it's so ordered. House Bill 113, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 113, Critical Access Endowment Challenge Program.
There are no amendments. Any discussion? House Bill 113, having been read two separate times, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. House Bill, House Joint Resolution number 1, second reading of the House Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution number 1, resolution in support of Anwar Energy Development.
There are no amendments. Is there any discussion in regard to House Joint Resolution 1? Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Joint Resolution number 3, second reading of the House Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution 3, Resolution Parents' Rights.
There are no amendments. Is there any discussion in regard to House Joint Resolution 3? House Joint Resolution 3, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Joint Resolution 7, second reading of the House Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution 7, Resolution Conscious Rights.
There are no amendments. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, House Joint Resolution 7, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Joint Resolution 8, second reading of the House Joint Resolution.
House Joint Resolution number 8, National Day of the Cowboy.
There are no amendments. Any discussion? House Joint Resolution 8, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the House Joint Resolution be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list for us this morning?
Mr. President, third reading consent list, which I move, is as follows. House Bill 11, Business Entities, Revisions. House Bill 17, Budget Hearings. House Bill 21, Exceeding Speed Limit While Passing. House Bill 26, Contractor Residency Provisions. House Bill 27, Extension of Energy Producing States Coalition. House Bill 34, Subdivisions, Consideration of Schools. House Bill 35, Notarial Certification of Business Entity Instrument. House Bill 65, Banks, Authorized Investments. House Bill 76, Resort Liquor Licenses. House Bill 87, Mixed Martial Arts. House Bill 92, 9/11 Services, Eligible Entities. And House Joint Resolution 12, United States Government Deficits.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 11, House Bill 17, House Bill 21, House Bill 26, House Bill 27, House Bill 34, House Bill 35, House Bill 65, House Bill 76, House Bill 87, House Bill 92, House Joint Resolution 12. Chief Kirk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson excused. Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting. Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Platern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
On the consent list, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 11, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 11, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 17, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 17, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 21, are there any changes? Geis, aye to no. Closing vote. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 21, 27 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused. House Bill 26, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 26, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 27, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 27, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. House Bill 34, are there any changes?
Cooper, aye to no.
Cooper, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no.
Hicks, aye to no.
Jennings, aye to no. Coe, Coe, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Von Flateren, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Emmerich, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Burns, aye to no.
Anderson, aye to no.
President Anderson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 34, 14 ayes, 15 noes, 1 excused. House Bill 35, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 35, 29 ayes, 1 excused.
God damn it.
House Bill 65, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 65, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 76, are there any changes? Closing. Meyer, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 76, 26 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused. House Bill 87, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 87, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Bill 92, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 92, 29 ayes, 1 excused. House Joint Resolution 12, are there any changes? Rothfuss, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Martin, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Joint Resolution 12, 25 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 11, House Bill 17, House Bill 21, House Bill 26, House Bill 27, House Bill 35, House Bill 65, House Bill 76, House Bill 87, House Bill 92, and House Joint Resolution 12 have passed the Senate. House Bill 34, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 34 has failed to pass the Senate.
Huh? Shows you how much power I have.
Is Senator Bebout, are you ready in regard to message number 229 having to do with Senate File 85?
Lisa.
Could we have that read in at this time, please?
March 5th, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 229, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File number 85, General Permits. Having passed reconsideration, the Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 41, no 17, excused 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the adoption of message number 229 for Senate File 85, General Permits, and I ask the body to vote aye. Mr. President, what the House did is go into this complicated bill and I think make some amendments that represented a compromise in some ways and changed the way we deal with some of it and putting it in different statutes, and I'll go through those with you, Mr. President. If you have the copy in front of you, specifically if you look at where we deleted page 1, lines 10 through 13, page 1, 1 through 15, and page 2, lines 1 through 20. What we did there is we took it out of the Administrative Procedures Act, and if you go to page 3 after line 8 and you look at it, we said under E, a general permit issued under this act shall not be considered a rule for purposes of the Wyoming Administrative Procedures Act. Mr. President, what that did is just put it under Title 35 rather than under the APA. And I've checked with both the AG on this, the Attorney General's office and staff, and this does not have any effect. It just puts it in a better place so it can be dealt with under the Act. The other part that this proposed amendment does, Mr. President, is on page 3, line 1. After permits, it inserts a language issued pursuant to Articles 2 and 3 of this Act and subsection C of this section. And, Mr. President, what that does is narrows the general permit area to only Articles 2 and 3, which includes 2 is air and 3 is water. And, Mr. President, page 3, line 5, and this is the one that's probably has some concerns by some members in this body. After comment, we insert the department through regulations adopted by the council may require public comment for 30 days for the authorization of use general permits, and it goes on through the rest of the language there. And you may recall my colleague from Johnson County had an amendment that had the word shall in there. I would ask the body to accept this language because certainly when we go through the general permitting rulemaking process, the UQC is doing these permits that they have that opportunity to put shall in there if they want to, and it'll be handled through rulemaking. That is a change from the way this left the House or left the Senate, and that's the one change. And I'll be glad to answer any questions, Mr. President.
Go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
Yes, Mr. President, a couple questions. Going to the conference committee report, and I'll go through them in order, which is a little different than what you went through them. But when you look at the rulemaking, page 3, line 5, as I read that, it means the only access the public has is when they're writing the rules. It isn't when the permits are issued, and that is that's a big step. That if you're impacted by this, if you're afflicted by it or helped by it, you won't have access to the permit itself, only during the rulemaking. That troubles me. I think that's what it says. Then on again, going on down the conference committee report on page 3 after line 8. Again, it excludes the process of public participation. That's what the Administrative Procedures Act is. It is the protection that we and all of our constituents have for access when these rules are being written. When you start divorcing those, then it makes me uncomfortable, but I'm probably going to be shown the error of my ways. But I just have real questions that what this has done, the cumulative of what's been done here, is one, it's passing a law that's probably unconstitutional because it applies to actions prior to the law. The second thing is that what it's designed to do is to limit public access to general permits. Mr. President, we had a discussion earlier. Some general permits are great, but you can cover literally thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres with a general permit for which the public would have no ability to even comment on. But that's kind of where I'm coming from on this good little conference report.
Senator Scott, I think you were up earlier, first time.
Mr. President, speaking on and against concurrence and urging you to vote no. General permits have considerable use. It's worth passing a bill on this. But I'm particularly concerned where a general permit is used to permit a water discharge, such as you sometimes have, maybe very well have, with a coal bed methane. I think you almost have to have a water discharge. And the nature of groundwaters that you pump, Mr. President, in the state of Wyoming, often the water is bad. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it'll be a great blessing to have that water. But if this water is polluted, has natural things in it that may sour your ground, may make your natural water sources unusable for, say, livestock water or other purposes that they're being used for, then there's a real issue. And, Mr. President, I get a little lost in the procedures here sometime, but it sounds to me like with this version that comes back from the House, they will use a general permit for all discharge for a wide sweep of wells, and there will be no ability for somebody who will be adversely affected by a particular well to object to that. And it sounds to me like that's what's being cut out, and I think, Mr. President, the better part of wisdom would be to take this back to conference and see if we can preserve at least that feature. So for that reason, I would urge the Senate to vote no.
I'm going to go to Senator Hines, then we'll go to Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Go ahead, Senator Hines.
Mr. President, my question is, if I'm following this correctly, both the House and the Senate passed a bill that says that it shall be available for public comment. And if I'm reading it correctly, then something that was both houses agreed on was changed in the conference committee from shall to may. Am I correct on this interpretation?
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Majority Leader, and then we'll come back to. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, folks, on and against this concurrence, there has been no conference committee yet. This is a request from the House. Some of us in the Senate had some consternation about the bill when it first started, and it was fixed. I mean, I think it was 26-4 or 24-6 when this bill left the Senate. I would urge you to stick with the Senate's position. Send it to conference. See if we can work out the differences. But I think the bill was in much better shape when it left the Senate than when it's come back to us.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I certainly concur with Mr. Leader over there. I think that this bill is not what we passed here in the Senate. You know, there's it's more than a compromise.
What?
It sure is, seems like a
total. Yeah, now that helped, didn't it?
And I think the question of the public comment shall.
That's a huge issue, and I think we should send this back, and we should have that
discussion. There's a lot of issues on this, and this sure seems to me like a fragment of what we've had here. Go ahead,
Senator
Bebout. Well, Mr. President, hearing all these good comments about this proposal, just to try to answer some of your questions. First of all, there's no question, I mentioned it earlier, that in terms
terms of the, after the general permit has been issued, that you take the shall and make it may. But to answer my colleague from Natrona County, that you've eliminated the possibility of public comment, that's not correct. Because when you go through the general permitting process, under the rulemaking process that you will go through, the public shall have the opportunity to comment. And if they want to comment specifically on a water discharge permit that they don't want it to be applied in that manner and have further comments later, they can do that. So it doesn't take away their right to be able to comment on the rulemaking procedure for the general permit. The second question that I'll try to answer is the unconstitutional thing about previous things. And, of course, that's why we bring this, this bill to you in the first place, because with the decision now that's in district court going to the Supreme Court, we run the risk, and it's a risk, of the 7,000 permits that have been issued under the general permits, we may have to go back there and deal with those. So that certainly is a consideration when you talk about this particular bill. But if this Senate decides that they want to go back and be a little tougher on the shell, I certainly respect the decision of the Senate. I think that this affords us a protection. And the last thing, Mr. President, under page 3, line 8, I disagree with my colleague from Johnson County on that. All it says is put in a separate part of the law under Title 35 instead of under the APA, which is Title 16. It really doesn't affect the ability to be able to do what the rulemaking process is all about. So I still would ask you to concur.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 85. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
No.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson excused. Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
No.
Meyer.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Nutting.
No.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
No.
Rothfuss.
No.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
No.
Von Slatern.
No.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote.
Barnard,
aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. 12 ayes, 17 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 85. I'd like Senators Bebout, Coe, and Hastert to be on the Joint Conference Committee. Bebout, Coe, and Hastert. Senator Perkins, are you ready in regard to message number 224 having to do with Senate File 27?
Yes, Mr. President.
I'd ask that be read in, please.
March the 5th, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 224, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File number 27, public meetings. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 54, noes 4, excused 2. The House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move a concurrence request, message number 224, referred with respect to Senate File 27, and ask for the body to vote aye. Mr. President and members of the body, what the House mostly did was straighten deck chairs, and I'll take you through what they did. If you go to the original bill, what they did initially was they took out, we had assembly inside on page 2 under the meeting of, under the definition of meeting, we also had, there also was a term defined as assembly. All they did is simply put that definition for assembly under a separate subparagraph. Other than that, the language is exactly the same. The other thing, the next thing they did is on page 3 of the bill, they added a new paragraph D, which talked about meetings having to be held contemporaneously. So if you read that language, which is on the message the concurrence request down there on page 3 after line 9 where they inserted D, no meeting shall be conducted by electronic means or other form of communication that does not permit the public to hear, read, or otherwise discern meeting discussion contemporaneously in the communications. That language is already in the assembly, in the definition of assembly, which was already in the bill. What they did is they put it here, which talks about what an assembly is, and they also put it under in the conduct of the meeting. So they took the same language and said that, well, no members have to participate, the meeting has to be conducted in the same way. It seems redundant, maybe deja vu all over again, Mr. President, I'm not sure, but nevertheless, it's language that's already in the bill and seems to already be required. Then they made this is a very dramatic change the new language of the bill had the request shall be renewed in writing and submitted annually to the agency, and they needed to have that change so the request shall be in writing and renewed annually to the agency. So, again, I don't think that's anything substantive. Then this is the place where the body needs to be aware and you can decide how you feel about this bill with this change. This is the substantive change, and what they did in the penalty provision of this is the House removed any criminal liability associated with failing to hold public meetings. And so where they left it was it would be a civil penalty only. And so basically any member or members of an agency who knowingly intentionally violate the provisions of this act, and then you see the new language they have here. They have there at the top of page 2 of the concurrence report, the provisions of this act shall be liable for a civil penalty not to exceed $750, except as provided in this subsection. And so that's it. And then the other thing they did is they completely removed any criminal liability for that. They made it a civil penalty only, and the $750 amount remains unchanged. And they left in the items that a violation of the act that the member who is of the agency shall be in violation of the act is only liable under the civil penalties of the subsection. And they're not liable unless minutes were taken during the meeting and the parts thereof. They did that. And then one other thing they did, I take it back. There's one other thing they did in executive sessions. They brought in language that's under the existing statute, and they expanded executive session to allow and hold potentially confidential in executive sessions or confidential in executive sessions, things that would be confidential under other parts of Wyoming law. And the references there, I believe, are to attorney-client privilege and also to doctor-patient privilege. Not limited to that, but that's what they did. Again, I don't know that that's substantive, because if they're confidential under that law, they would be confidential under other law. But when it comes down to it, like I say, majority of the concurrence request, Mr. President, is, like I say, mostly just straightening out the deck chairs. The one substantive change is that they removed the criminal liability that would attach to somebody who violates the open meetings law, moved it to a civil penalty only. The body, I think, your vote should reflect what you feel about that. Should members of commissions or boards or town councils be subject to criminal liability or civil liability be only? Would that be enough? And I think that's what should probably control your vote on this concurrence request. Again, my recommendation, Mr. President, is that you would vote aye.
Discussion? Seeing none. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 27, and you've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel? Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines? Jennings?
No.
Johnson excused? Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
No.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 9 ayes, 20 noes, and 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 27. Conference Committee. Perkins, Landon, Bernard. We are at that order of business for signing of enrolled acts. Senate Enrolled Act 30.
Senate Enrolled Act number 30 being original Senate File 36, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 30, original Senate File 36. And so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 31.
Senate Enrolled Act number 31 being original Senate File 67, an act relating to real estate licenses.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act 31, original Senate File 67. And so signed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that pretty much clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Are there any announcements? Senator Geis, go ahead.
Mr. President, he will meet tomorrow at 8 o'clock up in S-15.
Other announcements, Senator Hines.
Mr. President, the Joint Revenue Committee will meet at noon recess today, 15 minutes after we adjourn in House H-11.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee number one, Judiciary, will meet with its counterpart from the House for a joint meeting in H-8 tomorrow to discuss interim topics. And also, Mr. President, the Conference Committee on Message 230 for Senate File 25, which is myself, Senator Hicks, and Senator Rothfuss, will meet at probably about 9:15 tomorrow, as soon as the Senate Interim Committee meets. As soon as that concludes, we'll meet to see if we can resolve the conference issues with respect to Senate File 25.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Conference Committee for Senate File 40, consisting of Nicholas, Meyer, and Bebout, will meet at 1:30 at room 202. This is on Senate File 40, Judicial Salaries.
Senator, or Mr. Majority Floor Leader, go ahead.
Mr. President, two announcements. First of all, I've been asked to announce that the bill signing sheet is on your desk, should be in your red folder for bill signings today at 3 p.m., In addition, Management Council will meet tomorrow afternoon, March 7th, upon the call of the Speaker and the President in room 302 to assign interim topics and to discuss miscellaneous administrative items.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I'd just like to remind the body of the hard hat tour of the new Southeast Wyoming Welcome Center down. We all have sheets on our desks from it. Down on the Plains Road interchange on I-25 today at lunch and tomorrow at lunch.
Other announcements? Seeing none, you've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate shall stand, that motion carries. Senate shall stand at recess until 2 p.m., 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're at recess.